Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'd have you stand, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. As we continue our series that we've been in for a while now, the church in the last days. And our main text will be found in verse number 4 this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I believe we're seeing them. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And here we are at our text this morning, traitors. Traitors. So I want you to notice this morning, right here to begin with, that in the last days, preceding the rapture of the church, the local church is going to be a place infiltrated with traitors. Not just traitors of our country. I'm talking about traitors of the brethren, and worst of all, traitors of the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my message this morning is The Season of Treason. May God help us and warn us with this message this morning. All right, every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Tommy, would you pray for this message, and everybody can be seated.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Being able to come here to study your word, Lord, to hear something about you, Lord.
Amen.
We just pray, Lord, that you've blessed us all this week, Lord.
Yes.
Your messages, different things, Lord. But we're a needy bunch, Lord, and we need your touch again this morning.
We sure do.
We just pray that you meet with us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Your brother Dennis, the words to say, Lord, just speak to us through him.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, if there be someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, we just pray for their soul that you're just convicted in such a way that they'll just have to come to you this morning, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our country, treason is considered the highest of all crimes. Treason is committed when one intentionally betrays their allegiance by levying war against a government are giving aid to our nation's enemies. A traitor is one who betrays another's trust or is a false to an obligation or duty. It's one who commits treason. Some synonyms of the word traitor are backstabber, double crosser, betrayer. I would have to say that the most famous or rather infamous traitor in the history of our country is Benedict Arnold. He was a major general of the United States that served during the Revolutionary War, and Washington had given him command of the fort at West Point, New York, but he secretly planned to surrender that fort to the British. He was given, when they found out about it, however, he fled over to the British lines, and there he was given the command of Brigadier General. And he led an army. This is what he did now. He actually led an army against the very men that he had once commanded. Now, a more contemporary traitor is a fellow by the name of Robert Hansen. I don't know if any of you ever studied much or remember much about him. Robert Hansen was an FBI agent for 22 years, during which time he spied for the KGB and Russia. That's from 1979 to 2001. He was a spy for the KGB in Russia. He is considered to be the most damaging spy in FBI history with what he did to betray this country. Of course, those two men are like choir boys when one compares to the greatest traitor of all times. That's Judas Iscariot. The king and the kingdom that Judas betrayed is far greater than the one Arnold and Hansen betrayed. Now, this is the season for treason. We have people, I believe, right now in our government who would love for America to be reduced to a third world country. Absolutely, they would. There's really no telling how many people who actually serve in our government or our intelligence community in this country who are double agents and spies and are working in some way to secretly hurt our country. Don't have no doubt about that. But what I want to look at this morning is far worse. It really is. It's far worse. We have people in the church, and when I say the church, I don't specifically mean this church, although I'm preaching to this church. I'm talking about the local church, local churches all over the world, who are traitors. And as this world gets closer to the rapture and to the second advent, the more prevalent they are going to become. So this morning I have 3 points that I want to get across to you concerning the possibility of having traitors in the church. I want to look at the who and the why and the what. The season of treason. Traitors in the church. Now who? First of all, who betrays and who is betrayed? Well, who betrayed? Well, obviously there are some people that I believe that are sent in into the church that we're going to have to watch more and more as the days approach to the rapture. Now, for years, Baptists have been talking about the Jesuits being sent out and secretly infiltrating the church. And maybe some of that's over-exaggerated, but I don't doubt a bit that it happens. I don't doubt a bit that it happens to some extent. But I believe right now that we're going to have people sent by the government. You can be looking for radical movements to secretly come into the church and try to record you or catch us doing or saying something that they can hold it against us. We live in a society now where everybody is recording and filming everything. You better be very careful what you say and to who you say it to. Really. And I think you're going to have, as this country gets worse and as you see the judgment of God begin to fall on this country because of the country's sinful choices, you're going to see more and more people infiltrate true churches that's still preaching the gospel, that's still telling it like it is, to try to catch the preacher saying something against somebody that they can label a hate crime and get them prosecuted and shut the thing down. That's what you can look for. There'll be people slipping in the church that seem like they're with you, seem like they're for you, seem like they believe what you believe, but they don't believe what you believe. They're here to get us. Now, in case you think I'm being paranoid and all that kind of stuff, I'll go on to the next deal. But that is a reality, folks. You better understand that is where we are today.
Amen.
But then there's not just lost people. There's saved people in the church that will betray you. I know when we talk about a traitor many times and how I'm going to be used it, that maybe not is the exact way we use the word traitor. But a traitor is somebody that betrays somebody's trust. They act like one thing and they wind up being another. And so listen, in the church, and some of you understand this, and some of you have been hurt, sometimes you'll have a pastor that will betray you. And it's tough, isn't it? Sometimes leadership will betray you. Missionaries, you think you have a missionary overseas, really doing it for God? He's over there laid up on your money, doing nothing. Listen, people will betray you, and in the church, you'll have folks that are married and different people betray one another. I'm just being very honest with you here. This is stuff you're going to have to deal with if you're going to get through living in a local church and survive it. There's going to be adultery in local churches. That's one of the biggest forms of betrayal you can do. It's just going to happen. Unfortunately, it gets even more sinister than that. In many local churches now, you'll have a youth pastor or a pastor, and you think they're good people, and they wind up molesting somebody. And you're betrayed. And it's hurtful. I'm probably talking to somebody here right now, either in this sanctuary or somebody listening to me, that you've been knocked out of church or halfway knocked out of church because of some kind of mess like that where a preacher or a staff member or somebody or maybe your spouse or somebody betrayed you. They betrayed your trust. You thought you could trust them. And you found out they were a traitor. You thought they loved you. You thought they cared about you. You thought they were trying to help you. And they were just trying to fix that thing where they could do something to you or against you. It happens. But also, pastors get betrayed. And you have to get over it. Your friends will betray you. You betray your friends. But I think the worst thing that I want to preach about this more specifically here this morning. The worst form of betrayal is when we betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll stick my hand up in the air and say that, and tell you that there's numerous times, not way back yonder somewhere, since I've been a pastor, that I've thrown my Savior under the bus. You say, you, Brother Dennis, me. I can't speak for you. You just think whatever you want to of me. You do whatever you want to. But I ain't always stood up for them and stood there for them. And sometimes you can be very fearless in the pulpit and make everybody think you're some kind of big, bold stander for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you get the right pressure put on you. You get in the right situation. You get the right kind of thing going on with you. And you'll throw them under the bus. And the fact that some of you sitting there thinking you won't probably proves you're a pretty good candidate to do it, or you probably have already done it. That's the worst kind of betrayal there is, being a traitor to the one that's never done anything to us but help us. Zechariah 13, verse number 6, has a very sad verse to me. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. That's Christ. That's Christ. Wounded in the house of my friends. So that's who. But number two, why? Why are people traitors? Why do people betray? Well, there may be more reasons, but I found three main reasons why people will betray you, why people will become a traitor. Number one is for benefit. It is believed, commonly believed, that that's why Robert Hansen betrayed the FBI in our country, because he was given a substantial amount of money, and I think diamonds were involved, and he did it for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed our Lord. Betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. So people will do it sometimes for money. That's why they'll be a traitor, for benefit, for promotion in the business world. Or in the church, they'll try to leverage or do a power play. I see people in the church sometimes, they play both sides of an argument. You are a snake in the grass when you do that. You come over here and get them all stirred up and act like you were them. And come over here and get these folks all stirred up and act like you were them. Listen, first of all, if you ain't in it, don't get on the side. Stay out of it and pray for them. But don't be a chameleon. Don't be a stinking hypocrite. Don't be a liar and act like you're fine with them and fine with them, and then pit them against each other. So you come out looking like, well, I'm for both sides, and whichever side wins, I'm going to win. That stinking mess goes on in local churches all over this country. And it's full of people that are traitors. We got to a place where we have no loyalty. I'm not talking about blind loyalty. I'm not talking about dismissing somebody's sin or condoning their sin. I'm not talking about that at all. But how about just saying, you know what, I'm going to be your friend, and I'm going to be faithful to you, and you're going to be faithful to me, and we're going to stick up for each other as much as possible, and I don't have any ulterior motive. I'm not going to, you don't have to worry about me stabbing you in the back. I'm with you to the end to go through this thing. God give us some people that will be loyal to one another in this church, and most importantly, loyal to the Savior. But I tell you why people will become a traitor: for benefit. Well, I found something else in this relationship or in this position that's going to help me more, so I don't mind throwing you under the bus so I get the promotion. That's how they do it out in the world. And unfortunately, that's how they do it in the church. It should be said that any of that goes on in a local church. However, it does. It does. People jockeying for a position. Why don't you let the Lord reward you? He said, well, I don't, but the Lord ain't rewarding me. Well, maybe you don't need rewarding. Maybe when it's time for him to reward you, he will. They do it for benefit. I tell you this. They do it for anger. They do it for anger. I believe Peter is a good example. Everybody preaches that. Well, I don't say everybody, but a lot of preachers preach that Peter was afraid and Peter was scared, and that's why he denied the Lord. You're going to have to go tell that to somebody else. Peter wasn't afraid. He wasn't scared. That's not why he denied the Lord. Listen, do you think a fella who runs up with a sword and cuts a man's ear off, and he's heavily outnumbered by everybody. You think that fellow's afraid? Listen to me. Peter wasn't afraid. Peter wasn't afraid at all. Why do you think he's cussing by the fire? Why do you think he's cussing by the fire? He's not cussing by the fire. He's not. I mean, I know people cuss sometimes if you scare them. Like if you, you know, if you stand behind the door and go boom, they might say something they don't need to say. But most of the time, the way he's cussing in that passage, and in fact, I'm saying, I tell you what, I don't know him. I don't know the blankety blank. I don't know him. I don't know him. He's not afraid of that woman. He wasn't afraid of those soldiers. He's mad with the Lord. He's mad with him. He thought he was coming to restore the kingdom. He thought he was coming to deliver the Israelites out of the Roman bondage. And he didn't. He didn't do what he wanted him to do. And Peter's mad with him. And that's why he denies him. He wasn't afraid. I remember years ago, I heard Dr. Ruttman say something I didn't understand then, but I understand it now. Dr. Ruttman said a lot of times that when a fella backslides, he backslides because he's angry with God. Everybody listen to me. Am I talking to somebody in here today, and God didn't do in your life what you thought he ought to do, and he put something on you he didn't want you to put him on you, and something didn't work out like you wanted it to, and something happened in your life, and you won't admit it with your mouth, but you're angry with God and you're bitter toward God, and that's why you won't sell out and do right. You become a traitor to him. Now, you wouldn't say that in your own words, but you're upset with him. He didn't heal so-and-so. He didn't come through. You didn't get the job. He gave you cancer. You had this trouble. He didn't take away the diabetes. Maybe God said, I'll take away the diabetes if you quit eating so bad. Just preach to myself a little bit. But don't get bitter with him. A lot of times people throw Christ under the bus and they turn their back on the church and turn their back on Jesus Christ because you're angry with God. And you won't admit it. But God knows it. Sir, wherever you are in here, he knows that you're angry with him. He knows that you don't think he's done you right. And he's not up there in heaven with a ball bat ready to bust you in the head. He's a very merciful and loving God, but he wants you to admit it. Why do you think when he's walking in the garden, he asked Adam and Eve, where art thou? You think he didn't know where Adam and Eve was? Of course he knew where they were. He's the one that made them. He wanted Adam to figure out where he was. You cannot get any help today until you figure out where you are. You're upset with God. You're upset with God. Some of you are mad about a spouse, the way a spouse did you, mad about a friend, mad about a church member or God, and it's hurt you. Listen, some of you got to be careful about this. You married a woman, she run off on you, she didn't do right. Now you think all women are bad. You're bitter with women. Some of you ladies, you got a sorry husband, he wasn't worth anything, he mistreated you, run off on you. Now the problem's with men. You're bitter at men or bitter at women or bitter at church. All churches are bad now because that happened to me down there in that church and I ain't fooling with church. You see how that goes? I meet people like that all the time in my life. So you're just going to betray all men because one man? You're going to betray all women because one? You're going to betray the local church? Or you going to betray Christ? Christ never did anything. You might find fault with me. You can. You can find fault with anybody in this church, but you ought not find any fault with him. You'll not find any fault with Christ ever about anything. And then because of pride, many times people will betray you, be a traitor. Benedict Arnold, I understand in my studying him, was upset because he didn't get the promotions he thought he should get. He thought he was passed over and it was given to less qualified men. Well, his character proved why he didn't get the promotion. You want me to tell you how I know that you don't deserve the promotion? I know you don't deserve the promotion by how you react when you don't get the promotion. And how you react when you don't get the promotion proves you don't deserve it. A lot of people, it's just their pride. Just their pride. That's why they throw people under the bus. You know, we live in a society full of people who are very manipulative, narcissistic, sociopaths. It's almost like you see more of those in our society now, where people just don't have any feeling, any connection. They're just totally disconnected with everybody except for themselves. And they're going to say and act and behave and act totally in a way, and even the way that they interact with you that seems real nice and sweet, they don't care anything about you. They're setting all the thing up where they can benefit them. Any of you know somebody like that? Anybody? Raise your hand. Because if you don't raise your hand and you don't know anybody like that, that may mean you're the one. So you might want to raise your hand. Sociopaths. Narcissists. They manipulate. Some people think they know better than God. You know what you'll do? You better watch out for pride. You better watch out for pride. You'll turn your back right on God. Well, God, you should have done this, and you let him, and you do this. Is that right? But you say, what's the what? And this is the most important part of the message. What should we do? I mean, we realize we have traitors coming into the church. We realize that many times we will betray one another. We'll betray Christ. We realize that. But what should we do, preacher? I got about four or five things. Won't take long. This is a message. Number one, you need to be aware of this increasing problem in the church. Number one, you need to be aware of it. Okay? It's going to get worse. We are going to have people infiltrate the church that don't have the church's best interest in heart. They want to shut it down. They don't like what we preach. They don't like what we teach. They don't like what we're doing. They don't love Jesus. They hate our God, and they hate us because we're associated with our God. Do you believe that? You better believe that. And they're going to try to come into this church and ruin it and try to turn you against one another. And I tell you what they're going to do. If you're not sold out to God, when the pressure comes on and the threat of being maybe put in prison or prosecuted or whatever, you're going to fold up like a dish rag, man. You're going to fold up like a card table. You're not going to stand up for Jesus Christ, and you're sure not going to stand up for each other. It might get to the point where it's just like in other countries, Christians sneaking in and telling on each other. We need to be aware that that's the time we're in the local church, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Number two, Please listen to me this morning. You and I need to be more concerned that we don't betray others rather than being so concerned that they might betray us. You ever thought about that? I just don't know. I don't know what his intentions are. What are they doing here? I don't know. Do you see what he's... Okay. You know, if everybody would take care of themselves, then everything would be taken care of. I promise you, it was a great day in my Christian life, Brother Billy, when my sin began to bother me worse than anybody else's. That's a great day. You know why? People don't make me mad no more. I don't get so disappointed no more. I don't get so upset no more. Who am I upset and disappointed with and mad with today? I'm mad with me. Because I've been in it so long and I know better. Boy, if you'd ever get focused on your own sin instead of everybody else's, you could do business with God. Listen, quit worrying about, I wonder who's sneaking in here. I wonder where the Jesuit is. I wonder who's got the recording device. I wonder who's going to sneak here and do this. I wonder who's going to do that. I wonder what they came here for. Knock it off, man. Knock it off. You know what you ought to do? You ought to put you a mirror, and I heard an old preacher say this. You ought to put you a mirror up in your hall and do what he did every day. He said he had a mirror in his hall. Before he walked out the door every day, he'd walk in there in that hall, look at that mirror and go, what are you up to today? How about that? Wouldn't that be a much better response? And what Ben's thinking? Oh, Tim, he come in here. I don't know. It sure was convenient how we just had to meet up at the right time on visitation. I wonder if you just paranoid and cuckoo. You cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. What's wrong with you people? I've pastored people before in my life, and every time somebody's talking over there in the corner, they go, they're talking about me. They're not over there talking about you. They didn't talk about you yesterday. Can I relieve you? You're not that important. You're not the subject of everybody's conversation. They're not trying to talk about you behind your back. Matter of fact, they probably don't even think much of you. They don't, one way or the other. So, does that make you feel better? They're not talking about you simply because you're not that important. But people are paranoid in the church. Listen, man, why don't you look at your own self? I don't know about you. Maybe you're fine. Maybe you're just fine here today. All right, I'll preach to myself then. I got enough to deal with about my heart and my mind to be sneaking around here wondering, who's for me? Who's against me? Who's talking about me? Who's... You drive yourself nuts doing that mess. And you know what? You'll be so focused on everybody else, you never get your own self right.
Right.
Number three, we got to stay in fellowship with God. We have to search our hearts for pride, anger, conceit, and hypocrisy, because that's what leads to betrayal. Pride, anger, conceit, and hypocrisy always will lead to betrayal. We have to constantly be searching our hearts and evaluating ourselves and looking at ourselves and seeing if there be any unclean way in us that could lead to that. A couple of more. We must pray that God will work on our character, our loyalty, and our lack thereof. Because, listen, when you betray somebody, it's a character problem. Okay? When you're disloyal to somebody, when you don't keep your commitments, when you don't do what you said you're going to do for somebody, when you act like you're one thing to purposely deceive somebody, and you're really something else, it's because you have a character problem. And you need to ask God to fix it. You need to ask God to work on your heart. And you know what? And that's why am I preaching this? Why am I preaching this about traitors? That's some sort of a weird subject. Because it's in the text. We're preaching about the church in the last days. We're preaching about how it's going to be toward, as we get toward the end of the time. And the Bible says you've got to be warned. Traitors. Traitors. People coming in the church to betray us. But right now, I'm far more worried about the ones that are already in the church betraying each other, but much worse, betraying the master. And I hope that you're warned about this today. And finally, I want to say this. If you do betray the Savior, if you have betrayed the Savior, tell him you're sorry. Tell him you were wrong. And be restored. The greatest example of that is Peter. There's two disciples that throw Christ under the bus. Peter denies them, and Judas betrays them. Now, both of them have some kind of sorrow, but Peter had godly sorrow, and Judas had worldly sorrow. But after that thing is over, Peter's embarrassed and he has to go through that whole thing where Christ restores him. He keeps telling him, "Do you love me, Lord? Do you love me, Lord? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you," three times. And finally he says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Go on, and he restores them. Now you know what Peter did? Listen, get a hold of this. Peter betrayed our Lord. Peter was a traitor to our Lord. That's terrible, ain't it? But you know what he did? When Christ sought Peter out and he restored him, he got right with God and he finished the race well, and he authored two of the 29 books in your New Testament. Peter did. And he finishes well. I may be preaching to someone here today and you said, "Well, you know what? I've thrown some people under the bus, and I've thrown some Christians under the bus, and I've thrown the Lord under the bus, and I haven't been loyal, and I've snuck around here and talked with them and got on this side and talked about my preacher behind his back and talked about the deacons behind their back and talked about these folks over here." Okay, don't even come confess it to me. I don't want to hear about it. If you talked about me behind my back, don't say nothing to me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Don't go to the deacons. Don't go to nobody else. You get to that altar, you bow where you're at, and you say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I betrayed that man. I betrayed that woman. Most of all, God, I'm sorry I betrayed you. I've been a traitor. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me of all this unrighteousness in my life. Help me to get some loyalty and some character and get up and put it under the blood and go on for Jesus Christ."
Amen.
You go on for Jesus Christ. That's what you do this morning. Folks, listen to me as we begin to close this thing. We live in some weird times. People in this world are encouraged to tell on those who don't wear a mask in public. Did you know that? Conversations and personal interactions are secretly recorded. Probably somebody recorded me in here today. No. We don't know who is sent here to attend our services in order to get some kind of supposed damaging information on this church. We don't know. The underground church has been going strong for many years in places like China and Islamic states. That may become a real possibility here in this country real soon. Could. Absolutely could. People are going to be sent out to infiltrate and to persecute church. I believe that. But church, as of this morning, listen to me as I get ready to close. The real treason that I'm concerned about this morning is betrayal of our Savior and His kingdom. God help us to be loyal and truthful and without guile as we deal with others and we deal with our Lord in this church. And most of all, may God help us to never sell out the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, let us not be ashamed of Him. Let us be ashamed of ourselves. May we pray for the courage in these dark days ahead to be faithful to one another and faithful to our Savior, even till death. Every head bowed and eye closed.